that music made you want to get up and dance. That was pretty much the idea. A group live in our studio called the Freight Hoppers. They're out of North Carolina. And they will be playing as a presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival tonight at the Channing Murray Foundation on the University of Illinois campus, a stage show and swing dance, a square dance, sorry, very different thing, a stage show and square dance. From 7 to 9 o'clock tonight. They're my guests on Live and Local today. The show's your connection to local performances, and that performance will be the topic of the day. The Freight Hoppers are Micah Spence on fiddle, Frank Lee on banjo, and sometime guitar. I don't see one.
We're going to swap out.
We are going to swap out guitar. Here, okay. Yeah. So, and Mo Nelligan on guitar, Bradley Adams on the bass, and Micah and Frank sharing vocal duties. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for coming
in
today.
Thank you for having us.
Where were you playing last night, or was it a couple of nights ago where you had?
We were in Knoxville, Tennessee, last before we took off up this way.
So, but not last night.
No, we were just on the road last night getting up this way.
All right, so you didn't have to fly up here today.
It wasn't too bad.
You had a little bit of a rest, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. You've been up here before playing the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival itself.
Yes.
We were debating whether it was last year or the year before.
Yeah. That's a good question.
I think it might have been 2012, do you think?
Yeah. Can't remember right now. Time it was recently, yeah. We were right over there.
I was reading a little bit about the genesis of the group and sort of piecing together bits of information. And then when you came in, I saw you had a different guitarist than I was expecting. And Frank, since you're one of the founders, one of the founding members, I guess the only remaining founding member.
Yes.
Why don't you give us a little bit of the, is it fair to say, on-again, off-again history of the Freight Hoppers, or at least was off for a little while?
It was off for a little while. One of the other original members had a heart transplant, so we sat around and waited on David Bass was the person we're talking about. He had a heart transplant. He was the original fiddle player, and he went down in the early 2000s, and we took about 8 years off before we regrouped.
That's a pretty significant reason to take a break.
It is. He was recuperating, and I was playing stuff, doing a lot of solo stuff and with some other musicians and stuff. But since then, we've had people come and go over the years so much, it's kind of blinding. There's no way I could start to remember all the people who have played rhythm with us and such as that. But it's just over time, I'm thinking any group of people running around playing music is going to evolve into different personnel.
Well, it's certainly not uncommon. You know, I said when I saw you here and was getting introduced to everybody, and Mo said Mo, and I thought, wait a minute, I don't know who Mo is. but it happens actually quite a lot when people come in, and it, you know, things have changed since the time websites went up, or the gig happened, or whatever. So, what was the idea when you and David formed the group? Was it a quartet at the time?
It was. Band came together to, there was a need for music at a tourist attraction there in Bryson City, North Carolina, where Bradley and I are both living. The Great Smoky Mountain Railway there is a scenic excursion train that takes tourists around. We realized there would be a market there for some music just to go and busk, and they heard us at the time and hired us on salary to do these four shows a day for the trains coming through. And that was 1992. And to this day, Bradley still is working there. And they change and everything, so he's still working there. And it's a pretty great opportunity.
What was the idea for the sound of the group? I know you use the term old time, which gets used a lot regarding string bands, and then inevitably some group will say, well, we're doing the real authentic stuff, and somebody else says, well, we're doing the real authentic stuff. But what did you have in mind for sound?
I wouldn't say anything about authenticity at the time. There was and still is kind of a general recipe for what people started calling old time string band music. There's a lot of dynamics going on that don't necessarily sound super traditional, like the early recordings, But it is a recipe of putting a group of instruments together that people have been doing now for a few decades to create a sound that really, in a way, to me, sounds more contemporary than, you know, the stuff that was recorded early. But it is something that's generally accepted as like, well, this is called old-time music. It's almost like a genre that is shaped in the last few decades of sound.
And usually consists of the four instruments you've got here.
Well, and mandolin, possibly. A lot of times you'll see people playing slide instruments and stuff. I'm not sure about rules specifically about what's fair game or not. But this, I keep calling it a recipe, this thing with downbeat, offbeat rhythm, lead, fiddle, followed by this banjo popping along. It's something that's been done and is being done all over the country, really. So, and it is something I feel like that's been honed more recently than way back from the time, well, Highwood String Band started touring in the early 70s.
Highwood?
The Highwood String Band. They were from New York State, and they started touring with this same format. And it kind of, I don't know, it sort of set a standard of what people expected to hear from an old-time band. And then 20, 25 years after they had stopped touring, the Freight Hoppers formed and were able to go out and find opportunities at festivals and bluegrass festivals specifically to let those people hear some old-time string band music at a bluegrass festival.
Well, I was actually going to ask right before you said that, can you even talk about the difference between old-time string music and bluegrass?
I mean, well, sure. Bluegrass is more individual instruments improvising, much like early jazz was, where different musicians would take leads improvising over the melody. And then when the bluegrass thing came along, I look at it like Bill Monroe put this format together, where the different instruments actually took lead breaks, like had been done in jazz before that. But this string band, fiddle band music, it was just a wall of sound. Everybody playing at the same time, everybody following the fiddler's lead and playing a tune. It wasn't so much these individuals. You know, a lot of times an old-time string band will take a melody or a tune, an old fiddle tune, and we'll use our ability to really showcase that piece. We're going to do all we can to showcase that melody. And in other kinds of music, say jazz, say bluegrass, individuals will take the melody and they'll use that melody to showcase their own ability to, let's just go off the wall and do what we want to. So it's kind of a reverse thing. We're not necessarily taking the tune and showing what we can do. We're taking what we can do and showing off the tune.
Showing off the tune.
How I cut and dry the difference. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Well, it actually makes a lot of sense, and nobody's quite put it that way to me anyway. And it probably makes it a little clearer in my mind.
There is a melody to everything we present, and we definitely know that melody, and we just really honor the melody instead of showing, look what we can do with that thing we're going to call that piece, kind of a thing.
Which is not to say that bluegrass musicians are show-offs, necessarily.
Not at all, but it's a great chance to show off. It is a great opportunity to show off, should you be a show-off.
Well, I've made little threats now and then to learn how to play the banjo myself, and the first question that I was asked when I said that I might like to do that someday, and this was several years ago and I haven't done it yet, is, well, do you want to play, what kind of music do you want to play? Do you want to play claw? And I suppose that was the real question, what kind of music? Meaning, usually, do you want to play bluegrass or do you want to play other kinds of stuff? And if it was bluegrass, then that meant a certain kind of banjo style. If it was other kinds of stuff, it would mean what you're doing primarily, although maybe I just haven't been quite this up close, but it almost looks like you're doing a little bit of a hybrid between clawhammer and...
Yeah, well, everything I'm doing is a downward frailing.
Yeah.
Where like a finger-picking banjo style would be actually using your fingers. But I am picking out a lot of single notes with my thumb and the finger that I use to frail, but it's all a downward motion.
Yeah.
There's not any finger picking going on.
Do most clawhammer players use a pick on one of the fingers?
I wouldn't say so. Some people can grow a good nail out. Some people get used to not using anything, just the callus of their finger. Michael's a great banjo player. I've never seen you put a pick on your finger.
Oh, I will, especially at a longer music festival, something like Clifftop or Mount Airy, where I'm playing for 7 or 8 days in a row. I will totally wear my nail out, and I use a use a Fred Kelly Freedom pick for that, but whereas Frank uses just an upside down Dunlop finger pick like you'd use for finger picking a guitar or a banjo. He just turns it upside down and uses it like a nail. And I used to do that very same thing. I actually got that technique from you, Frank.
Well,
long ago.
a lot of times you'll see old time banjo players playing an open back banjo that doesn't have the resonator on the back to make the sound project out.
Which is what you've got.
Well, I don't have the resonator.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sorry. Yeah. So the finger pick actually can help it punch out a little bit more. Because in this music, it's kind of like fiddle's taking the lead and everything else is kind of behind it, supporting it. So we don't want this banjo really blaring and covering up what he's doing. It's more like fitting in there with it.
And we certainly know the banjo can cover things up.
Yes. I actually have stuffed in the back of it just to try to deaden it down a little more.
A little foam in there.
It's a foam and a microphone that I use when we're performing.
Ah, but we're actually, for the record, we're using microphones, but they're just in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Essentially crowded around one mic, and we have one little dirty secret, which we won't tell you about, how we're creating the sound. It's live and local here on FM 90.9. Our guests are the Freight Hoppers. They're live in our studio. And we better quit talking and let you play another tune.
All right. I'm going to sing one for y'all here called, I call it the Wagon Yard, or you can say, I wish I'd bought me a half a pint. I am a jolly farmer. Last night I went to town to pick a bale of cotton. I had worked the whole year round. I hitched my team in a wagon yard and I bought me a bottle of gin. I went out to see them electrolytes and watch the cars come in. I met a dude out on the street as the clock was striking nine. He said, come on, oh hayseed, you can have a drink, it's fine. I must have bought about a dozen drinks before it hit my pocketbook hard. I wish I'd have bought me a half a pint and stayed in the wagon yard. Cause I am a preacher in a hard shell church down near Possum Trot. If the sisters hear about my spree, it's bound to make them hot. I went out on a party, I let the pace that kills. When I woke up, that gang had gone and left me all the bills. I called him over on the corner near the Soul Salvation Hall. That drunken bunch was singing, Jesus paid it all. They laid me out in a driver's box, Lord, my pillow was hard. I wish I'd have bought me a half a pint and stayed in the wagon yard. Listen to me, farmers, I'm here to talk with sense. If you want to see them electrolytes, just look right over the fence. Don't monkey with them city ducks, you find they're slick as lard. Just go out and get you a half a pint and stay in the wagon yard. Wish I'd have bought me a half a pint and stayed in the wagon yard.
There you have it, the Wagon Yard.
There it is. Yes.
And that last line is essentially the longer title you gave.
Right? Good advice now.
I started to write it down and then realized it went out in my head, but you reminded me a few times during the course of the song. Micah Spence on fiddle and the lead vocal on that one, frankly, on the harmony vocal and playing banjo. Mo Nelligan on guitar and Bradley Adams on the bass. They're the Freight Hoppers. They're going to be playing a show tonight in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus, the Channing Murray Foundation. It's a stage show and square dance, in case you heard me say earlier, a swing dance. Mm-hmm. I suppose you could probably swing dance to this.
Probably swing in your partners a little bit.
Oh, there you go. Ballroom swing.
Sneak out to the wagon yard.
Grand square.
Yeah. Take a sip. You could swing her.
How much do you is playing for dances a good chunk of your time?
Oh, certainly. Well, I mean, I say certainly. I've been playing frequently in Chattanooga for the contra dance there, and I tend to think of a lot of these fiddle pieces that we're doing, not so much like that one that I just sang, but a lot of the fiddle tunes that we do are really meant for dancers and square dancing specifically, or contra dancing, whatever you're into. Clogging and flat foot and buck dancing, whatever other terms you have for the individual type dancing too, is really, to me, the heart and soul of the social aspect of the music. People obviously get together and play music together and have fellowship, but getting the dancers riled up, really, the dancers and the musicians feed off each other, and so you can have a really good time with just a few dancers.
Did this music that you're playing, did it originate as, I mean, the general style, did it originate as dance music?
It's not really for me to say, not being as educated as I'm sure lots of people out there in radio land are, but the way that I think of it, yes, certainly. It's not as if it is there strictly to serve the dancers, but it certainly is an important social function of it. You always hear stories from the old-timers about, you know, you make them roll your carpet up now, don't let them dance on that new carpet, and having a big old house party and having the musicians sitting in a doorway between two big rooms so you could have more people dancing so that two rooms full of people could hear the music instead of just one. That sounds like a lot of fun to me. And, in fact, I've been to several parties in Nashville, and we like to throw them like that in Chattanooga. And over in Surrey County, they do it like that too, where they'll clear out a little space at whatever party you're at and start a little square dance.
So you're certainly not going to do it in a home where there's a wall-to-wall carpet.
No.
You're not going to roll.
Can't roll that one up. You just got to dance on top of it. Oh, that's if you dance barefoot, that's painful.
It's really handy to get rid of fleas in your house is to have a square dance and the people take the fleas away when it's over.
It's true.
Is this a fact?
It is true, yeah. My grandparents did that. They actually separated. This was way back in the 1930s. My grandfather was a banjo player down in Atlanta, and he was having dances at the house. And my grandmother came from Pickens County, North Georgia, and the devil fiddle instrument, devil instrument, dancing in the house was not. So she put an end to that, and he convinced her they would take the fleas home with them so they could continue having these square dances there at the house.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
I have no follow-up to that. Freight Hoppers, presenting old-time string band music, as we've been discussing. Do you do exclusively the old-time stuff, or do you do things that are also original to you or newer people? Or
I would say we stick pretty exclusively to the really super obsolete stuff way back.
From obsolete and obscure.
If that answers your question, the really earliest recorded stuff is what we try to seek out for source recording to learn from. And I know this unit, was more than anything I've ever worked with, we're checking out the original recordings to not necessarily try to emulate what it sounds like, but at least try to educate ourselves to what we're trying to represent, what we're trying to present.
Give us the names of some groups that people could look up if they feel like, that you've, if not necessarily modeled yourself after, stole some
stuff
of their
we love
tunes.
To listen to and influence. The Gid Tanner and his Skillet Lickers. Gid Tanner and his Skillet Lickers were some of the first country recording artists in Atlanta to record there.
Gid Tanner. Okay.
Yeah, and his Skillet Lickers, and down there also Fiddlin' John Carson. He recorded and released. Well, he released the first country music record, a thing called Little Log Cabin in the Lane, which a lot of people still sing and play. Hmm. And so Atlanta and Knoxville, when the record companies came south to seek out rural musicians, hillbilly musicians from the cultures down south, they went to Atlanta and Knoxville and Bristol, Tennessee, and some different places, of course, but there were tons of stuff recorded in Atlanta in 1927, 1929. And for one reason or another, it just speaks to us, that stuff.
Is it hard to find these recordings, older recordings?
I've got to say no, not with today's as a resource. This is on the internet. Micah's had tons of, and he's exposed me to stuff on Spotify regularly that I have never been able to find. And
I learned from my mom, who's an IT guru of sorts, that you can solve almost all your problems by doing a simple two-word search on Google. you can't search for it in two words, you're probably doing something wrong.
Oh, I might need to get a few tips.
But you can find, I mean, it really is unbelievable. Some of the things that we thought were unreleased or were more obscure are just as readily available as anything else. You can link to them as quickly as you can link to the latest single from the top 40 charts.
I would imagine when you go to their festivals, there must be tune sharing that goes on.
Continuously, people sitting around playing and learning tunes. And there's plenty of fiddle festivals these days. They're in the summertime. You can find them all over the country. Lots of people into this stuff right now.
Specifically fiddles, meaning that's mostly who turns up, or?
Well, it's
focus
kind
on
of
fiddles,
referring to this music as fiddle music.
Fiddle music, I see.
Yeah.
Frank, you said that you and Bradley are both living in North Carolina. Is that where you're originally from?
He is, actually. Bradley is.
Yeah, I was born and raised there in Bryson City, and that's where the band has always been based out of. And that's where the railroad depot is there, the Great Smokies Railway that he was referring to.
Where you're still working, he said.
Yeah, I do, actually. We were working as the full band there, all four of us. We were entertaining the train patrons for the hour prior to the boarding of the train, so we would be out on the deck after they bought their tickets. We would entertain them, and then they would go and board the train. And they budget cuts everywhere in the country. It hit the GSMR as well, and they actually tried to maximize the bang for their buck. So they've got us on the train now. We go from car to car. Myself and another musician, we go from car to car, entertaining the guests in each specific car on the train, and then at the layover, we'll go out and busk outside there, and then play again on the ride home. So it's a lot of fun getting to do that. Those people, they have always treated us great down there and still do. My boss, Lacey, hope she's listening. She's great. She allows us to go out and travel and tour around and do this and come back home and still have a job during the week playing music for the tourists. So it's a real blessing, not only to be there in our little small town, but it's my hometown, and to be able to make a living as a musician there is definitely a blessing, getting to play this music. So.
Yeah, is it a challenge to haul the bass between the train cars?
Well, you know, I've been playing mandolin for probably 15 years, so that's actually what I'll drag along on the train, which is quite a bit easier than lugging the bass around. Yes, there's a festival we play in Durango from time to time, and they've actually had the whole band traveling from car to car on the train while it's moving, trying to lug the bass around. Definitely presents some problems and or hazards, I guess, for people's heads.
So. Yeah, I would imagine so. But you haven't been known to knock anybody off the train.
Not intentionally, no.
Not intentionally, but it could. You're saying it has happened.
No. It can be a mess trying to lug the thing around. But we've always been pretty lucky. We haven't had any real accidents yet. So.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
No real accidents.
No real accidents.
Yeah. The Freight Hoppers are going to be playing a stage show and square dance tonight from 7 to 9 at the Channing Murray Foundation on the University of Illinois campus. They're being presented by the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which is an actual festival that happens in November now. It used to be in September, and I haven't looked at the upcoming date, but I believe it's November this year. But they do, with some frequency, present not exactly solo shows, but shows unrelated directly to a festival, sort of to keep the name out in front and to keep the music flowing throughout the year. And we're really pleased to have these guys in our studio. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruising Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. What's your next tune? And I assume this is a dance tune?
It's going to be a dance tune. How'd you know? We played a South Mississippi tune called The Magnolia One Step.
Magnolia One Step, played here in our studio by the Freight Hoppers here on Live and Local on FM 90.9 here at Illinois Public Media. I'm Kevin Kelly. Pleased to have him with us today. What's the difference in structure to a piece or length of the piece or any other sort of modifications that happen between if you're just playing, let's say, kind of a concert setting as opposed to when you're playing for a dance?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that piece actually is a great example of something that you would never get to play for a square dance or, well, at least for a contra dance. They have to have equally segmented parts because the dances correspond to the music in a way that I'm not sure I fully understand. But every time I ask anybody about it, I know that it has to be, it needs to be 64 beats long, 32 and 32, and that's just the way it is. I think that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Frank is nodding.
No, mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. You think so?
It has to be even because the dancers, the caller will call the dance, and then he or she will stop calling after a certain amount of time because the dancers have it memorized, theoretically, in a perfect world, I guess. And part of the way that they'll memorize is because it corresponds to the music.
So you haven't been a dancer yourself, it sounds.
Oh
like.
No, I dance lots. I usually dance squares. I don't particularly. My favorite dances to dance is either I'll do buck dancing or clogging or flatfooting or whatever you call it, or I'll square dance. I'll play for contra dances because that's where the money is. I generally don't dance at contra dances. It's a different, it's a slightly different scene of people and music and musicians than what I've surrounded myself with. But there's lots of local contra dances. And if you see a sign for one, of course, go out and join it, and hey, you'll have a good time. I promise you, everybody's more than happy to teach you everything that he knows about dancing and the music. It's a very welcoming and open-armed community.
Well, since you mentioned that last little bit, I'll just sort of reaffirm that as far as tonight's dance goes, which is from 7 to 9 at the Channing Murray Foundation on West Oregon in Urbana, on the university campus, University of Illinois campus. It says here the stage show starts at 7, so that's the, you know, for we could call it the concert portion.
Yeah.
And then the dance itself at 8 o'clock, and it says here, no experience needed, all dances are taught, come as you are.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Come as you are, you'll, if you got some leather-soled shoes, those are, of course, a plus. But barefoot is traditional.
And I do know it's a hardwood floor at the Channing Murray Foundation.
Good.
I believe I'm correct about that.
Yeah, I believe you are too. A lot of dancers would insist on a hardwood floor. Bad for your knees on the concrete, I think.
I would imagine it would be, as long as they've got the floor nice and polished and no splinters.
Yeah.
Well, Frank Lee has traded his banjo for Mo Nelligan's guitar. What's Mo going to do right now?
He's going to give us some moral support back here.
All right, okay.
Critique us a little later on.
All right. That's...
Yeah.
Somebody's got to have that role.
Yes.
He's a man of many words.
Yeah. Oh, we'll ask him a question coming up, so...
You hear that?
Yeah.
You going
to... Find your speech there, Mo.
Yeah.
The Freight Hoppers, what are you going to do next? We are now a trio.
We're going to do a little waltz number called The Sailor and the Soldier. Learned it from the great, great, late... Mike Seeger, Pete Seeger's brother, who passed away before Pete. And Mike Seeger put out a lot of great albums. This is on one he put out called The Sailor and the Soldier. Okay, you ready, boys?
As a sailor and a soldier were traveling one day, said the sailor to the soldier, let us kneel down and pray. We'll pray for the welfare and the good of all men, and to everything I say to you say amen. And we'll pray for the young boys that stay home and plow and gain their maintenance by the sweat of their brow. Good luck and good fortune them always attend, and money aplenty, said the soldier, amen. Pray for the young girls that stay home and spin, nor go to night parties as all us have been. Good luck and good fortune them always attend, and sweethearts to court them, said the soldier, amen. For the old miser with his hands full of gold, he neither spends it nor lends it nor gives to the old. Bad luck and bad fortune him always attend, and Satan to get him, said the soldier, amen. So as the sailor and the soldier were traveling one day, said the sailor to the soldier, let us kneel down and pray. We'll pray for the welfare and the good of all men, and to everything I say, to you say amen.
Tune in 3/4 time, played by three of the four members of the Freight Hoppers. It's called The Sailor and the Soldier, with Frank Lee on the lead vocals on that one, and Micah Spence, fiddle and harmony vocals.
There will be a waltz, at least one tonight, I'm sure, a waltz for people, and we may do that one.
May do that one, yeah. Well, you've got to have a waltz.
Yes, so grab your partner.
Old-time dance, I would think. And Bradley Adams on the bass. And Mo has his guitar back. I wanted to ask if this music has been primarily your personal music, you know, that you grew up with. And
oh, sure. Yes, my father taught me how to play the banjo and the guitar and the fiddle when I was starting back when I was 12. I'd learned to play the banjo and guitar, and I picked up the fiddle when I was about 16. Yes, I've been playing music with him and my mom and now my little brother, who's now, I think, 14. I can't remember exactly, 13 or 14. And he also has started playing. But speaking of brothers, you ought to talk to this fellow right here with the guitar. He's got a couple brothers who both play music, and clearly he does as well. Mo, you got anything to say for yourself?
Yeah. My family plays. I learned from them. Both my brothers and my mom and my dad play fiddle.
Did you pick up the fiddle also, or just stick with the guitar?
I saw him do it this morning.
Fiddle?
Yeah, but I put it back down.
He plays great.
Literally, just seriously, you do play fiddle?
I've been trying, but
training with these guys.
I try not to bother him too much.
He listens like everybody should to his dad, Mick Kenny. I don't even know that he has anything to plug, but if he did, I'd plug it for him. He's one of my favorite fiddlers.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, Mo, you're the most recent addition to the band. How did these guys find you, or how did you find them?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I gave him a call. I used a telephone.
We've been seeing him around for years at festivals and at shows that we would go to. I think both of these guys were pretty good friends with both of his parents, and we used to see him. He'd come around and be playing music, so we've known him for a while.
I played music with his father before he was born. We used to perform around Atlanta. Mo's father, Mick, and I would perform around Atlanta back before he was born.
Is that where you're originally from?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
And therefore, Mo.
Yeah.
And I also am from Atlanta, and my dad and Mick used to play together as well.
What What sent you up to North Carolina?
Gosh, I landed there because of what we were talking about earlier. The Great Smoky Mountain Railway offered me a salary.
Specifically for that, for that gig.
Landed there in Bryson City and just decided to stay there.
Well, it's, I like the way it's, whoever wrote the bio of your group on your website, I like the way it's put here, that that particular gig, quote, afforded the group plenty of paid rehearsal time to hone a sound that has proven entertaining and distinctly theirs, unquote.
Well, it seems to be, yeah, we had plenty of paid rehearsal time. We could work on stuff in front of people that had no expectations necessarily. They were just happy to see and hear a fiddle and a banjo, and they were just forgiving enough to let us learn new things.
Well, they were probably focusing on the train ride and,
it was,
and trying
distracted.
Not to get knocked off the, by the bass.
So. Yeah, watch out for the bass. Can't trust that guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying hearing your music. We might as well hear some more. Let me mention first, though, that our program today is made possible with support from the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to groove to the compelling jazz styling of the Vijay Iyer Trio on February 20th through the 22nd at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com. And I will add that Vijay Iyer will be on the show next Friday, so sort of in the middle of their run, three-show run, so to speak, at the Krannert Center. So looking forward to that conversation. And we may even be able to get to play, have him play live. We're trying to work that out as well. What's next?
Well, going to get Micah to fiddle another fiddle piece that we learned from a group that recorded it back in the 1920s down in Mississippi. And it's called I've Been to the East and I've Been to the West. Been to the East is what we call it. It's on our most latest Freight Hopper CD that's available. So here we go with Been to the East. Thank you.
Bend of the East, the Freight Hoppers, live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. They're playing a show and square dance tonight.
Swing dance.
I keep wanting to say swing.
You can swing if you want to.
Swing your partner.
You can do it. That's right. 7 to 9, they'll be at the Channing Murray Foundation in Urbana. You played another song earlier that was like this one in the sense that, you know, there's a line of music that of a vocal, a lyric that shows up and then it goes away. And then you play some more and then pop in with a line. What's the deal with that? Is that, you know, a particular type of song that you...
I can imagine. I know it's, you know, if there was a time in communities where people would square dance a lot and people knew the dances so well that a lot of times people, the musicians could just play a melody and there was a dance or a particular fiddle piece and there was a dance that would go along with it. And so there would be a caller and the caller would call long enough. I'm thinking just to break the boredom, there was a need to throw in some silly lyrics. And it's a lot of fun once the dancers start getting in the groove and they know the dance well enough for the caller to stop calling and the dancers can just dance the figures to add some lyrics. So I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but it's all I've got. Silly lyrics.
That's sometimes all you...
Sure.
All you can ask for is what you happen to know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I know who the caller is going to be. Martha Tyner will be leading the dance. It'll be interesting to find out if she might. I mean, does it happen sometimes that callers
stop
will do that?
Sure.
You know, that they'll add their own lines to a tune?
I'm sorry. No, the callers are just calling the figure of the dance.
Yeah.
So once the dancers really have it and they don't need to hear the caller telling them specifically what to do, the caller can just drop out and enjoy listening and watching. I'm saying then the musicians might pipe in with a...
Oh, so the musicians will just
sure.
pop in.
I
see. Yeah. But so, you have not done this yourself.
Sure.
For lines that you made up?
No, just singing. Like if we were playing that piece for a square dance, if there was a, you know, if the caller had quit calling, we might just pipe in and sing for the people dancing. And they don't even know it. They're just having so much fun dancing.
They're probably not paying any attention to
it. That's why it makes it so much fun for us. They're having such a great time, and they're not being really attentive. So we can just play music and make our big bucks.
So you could just start inserting all kinds of other ridiculous things.
They wouldn't even know what you were saying.
See if anybody would pay attention.
We do it.
Wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, depending on the crowd.
Well, I don't know. I know there's a lot of contra dancers, country dancers, square dancers. In Champaign-Urbana, there's a couple of different organizations, and I personally don't know the difference. I suppose we'd need to have this be a television show to really demonstrate the difference.
Man, we're going to make $1 million on that idea. I'm taking you with me.
Oh, yeah, to have a television show? Well, we do have a TV station.
Can we produce it here?
That's right. It just says we just have never done this show on the TV. One day, it just might happen. Live and local here on FM 90.9, exclusively on the radio. And so you can't see this banjo that Frank Lee has. It's kind of an interesting looking one to me. I don't know if it's actually unusual or not, but the neck of it and the, what do you call the thing on the top?
This peg head?
Yeah, the peg
Where the
head is
tuning
just,
pegs are located.
Yeah, it's just kind of unadorned. Well, it's completely unadorned. There's no fancy scroll work.
There's no frets on this one.
Yeah.
It's a piece of really nice rosewood, the neck is.
Mm.
And in the town, Bryson City there, where we live, our librarian at the there locally is also a banjo builder. And he's got banjos he's sent all over the world now. His name is Jeff Delfield. He owns Deep Creek Strings, is the name of his company. And he made this for me, a local guy there where we live, made this fretless banjo. And I must say, they're not all that amongst the old-time music scene, they're not all that unusual to see fretless banjos. It was the way they were initially.
You say it's not unusual.
It's not unusual to see fretless banjos anymore amongst old-time music, you know, people playing banjo. Pretty common anymore.
Yeah, or even half fretless. You see some.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll be fretless to here, and then there'll be frets from the fifth fret up, actually fretted, so you can get up here and get the notes you want. But then down here it's... From up to the fifth fret, it's just maybe a plate, or like I've got just bare wood.
And you've played both, I assume?
Yes.
Do you find an advantage to one over the other?
Well, there are different ways to look at it. It this playing with no frets, it causes me to play a lot more simple and just really sparsely as far as the stripping away. Just stick to the point. Just stick to the point. Don't get fancy. Don't show off. And this, it's kind of impossible for me to show off on this. There's no frets. I can just play the basic melody, and it keeps our sound such as it needs to be, I feel like.
Why does it make it difficult to show off without the frets?
Well, I'm saying there's no frets, so yeah. You don't have the help of anything more than just, I don't know how I can explain that to you. There's no frets to help you.
Well, there's no frets on a violin either.
It's right. The scale length is a lot different, but we're not talking about one being harder than the other one. It was my point of, I'm not sure why they ever put frets on a banjo, really.
It certainly, to me, in my ear, it sings more. You can get a much more singy quality out of it.
Without the frets?
Without the frets, for sure, yeah. It reduces that sound of the, when you slide between one or two notes, or two or more notes on a banjo, you get that sound of the finger, just like you do on a guitar, crossing over the fret, that kind of steel on steel sound, which is not the note, it's some other sound. And when you do it on a violin or on a fretless banjo, it's singing the whole way through. There's no interruption on your slide notes.
There are lots of microtones you can't get with frets because the fret is really...
It's stopping the sound.
It's really restricting you from making these microtones that are prevalent in different singing styles. A lot of microtones, if you listen to, say, a blues singer, they're singing lots of microtones. They're not dead on some major note or...
The blue note, as they call it.
Pretty much. I would say that's how it came about, the microtones. But with fretted instruments, it's pretty restricting to find these gazillion microtones that exist on any instrument.
Micah, you play banjo also, right?
I do. Yeah. I've played banjo a lot longer than I played fiddle.
Do you play also a fretless banjo usually?
At various times, I've done both. I like both. I enjoy both. I find that my technique changes pretty drastically. When I play violin or fiddle or whatever you want to call it, or a guitar with frets, I make a note with the pad of my finger with the tip, I guess, whatever you call it, the part that gets the callus, that part. But when I play a fretless banjo, especially one with steel strings, I like to make a little fret with my fingernail, and acts like a slide on a dobro or a blues slide guitar, where you actually have a hard object. It's stopping the string just like the fret would, but you get to, it moves around, and it's your nail, so of course it has a more organic sound to it. But yeah, that's the main difference for me, is that I'll find that I'm arching my fingers even more and bearing down with my nail, and then so of course eventually after a few days of doing that, I have to give up because I wear little notches in my fingernails. I don't have particularly strong fingernails for that, but for instance, a fella named Kirk Suffin does that, and he does it all the time. It's the only way he plays, and I guess he's got some sort of super nails or something. It's like the only thing he does, and he just it's incredible to me that he gets away with doing that all the time.
People that do that, you'll see little grooves in their fingers.
Yeah, I have definitely seen classical guitarists who have grooves in their fingers, and there's probably plenty of others too. I just happen to have noticed some of those. And of course, the upright bass has no frets either, and you've got a lot longer, farther to go. But usually you're playing open strings.
Yeah, it is a lot of open strings. You know, kind of the way that I approach it, and I think the way that most people do, at least in old time, is it's really more of an emphasis on the beat and not so much of the notes. I mean, you can hear I'm really just rocking back on usually just two notes, maybe three, four, five notes. It's just the one and the fifth note usually. Just laying down a good foundation between Moa and I so that these guys can do their thing and really just support the fiddle and the banjo. I do like to fool around and get up and down the neck, but it sounds kind of out of place. In this music, you'll hear some more of that, some more walking around in older, more traditional bluegrass sounds, which I love to do that too, and you hear a lot of that in the waltzes. There's a lot more walking around in the three-quarter time, but I really like setting just that foundation for the beat and keeping that nice groove going and getting in a spot between, you know, when Micah kicks the tune off, getting in a spot where we're all locked in, and we kind of got that locomotive kind of thing going between Mo and myself with the downbeat of the bass and his backbeat on guitar. It really kind of sets the thing going, and that's why it's so fun to play dances, because we get to run these tunes for 8, 10, 12 minutes sometimes. And I've actually got an electric bass amp that we plug this thing into, and we get this nice big bass sound, downbeat going for the dancers, but these guys rocking out on their three instruments. So it's really something fun to watch, and that's really when I get to have a ton of fun. It's those dancers back there really just hanging on every downbeat that we're that we're playing, you know. So it's a lot of fun to get to kind of drive the proverbial train, if you will, with the bass.
Well, I think we have just enough time for one more tune. Let me mention that our programs are made possible with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. The Freight Hoppers will be playing tonight from 7 to 9 at the Channing Murray Foundation. Stage show at 7. The dance starts at 8 o'clock. And it's a presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, where you can get more information. CUFolkandRoots.org.
Thank you, Kevin, for letting us be on your show.
You. Great pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
I'm going to play one more Skillet Liquors tune. This one's entitled Rollin' Boys.
That 7-Eleven, roll them all to the ground. I went up on a mountain for to cut me a batch of cane. I took it down the other side of Fat and Eliza Jane. Roll them, boys, roll them, roll them all around. Shoot that 7-Eleven, roll on the ground. Said, I ain't got time to talk to you now, there's a little black dog behind. Roll them, boys, roll them all around. Shoot that 7-Eleven, roll them on the ground.
The Freight Hoppers are Micah Spence on fiddle and vocals, Frank Lee on banjo and sometimes guitar and vocals, Mo Nelligan on guitar, Bradley Adams on the bass here on Live and Local. Many thanks to all four of them for joining us on the show today. We'll be back with another show tomorrow from 4 to 5, as usual. And this is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois.